Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, when the ballots go out starting this weekend, you're going to notice quite a few constitutional amendments to choose from. There are 12 in all. There were 13, but a Florida court removed one of them. And of those 12, a handful are bundled together. There are challenges in court now to stop a couple of those bundled amendments. Now, one of the amendments that's gotten a lot of attention is Amendment 4, which gives voting rights back to those who are convicted felons who served their time. It's gotten so much attention, it's actually going national. It was a skit on the John Oliver Show the last week tonight, and here's a cut from the program where Governor Rick Scott defended the current status in Florida.
Look, if you are a convicted felon, part of what you did is you lost your rights. And so you ought to, you know, there ought to be a process if you're going to get those rights back. And I think it's fair to the rest of the citizens of the state, and they'll see a process that they know will work.
Well, joining us now to understand a few of the choices that will be on the ballot is Melba Pearson of the ACLU Florida. The Greater Miami chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union is hosting a panel discussion about the referendum this Sunday at the Palmetto Branch Public Library. It's at noon. It's free. It's open to the public. Mrs. Pearson, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So, I mean, look, there's a lot to talk about. We're going to try to cover just a few big ones here. And between now and Election Day, we're going to make sure that we have at least covered, we're going to cover all of them to make sure voters are up to speed with everything. This is the most amendments that have been on a ballot for voters. 1998, there were nine. That's the last time the Constitution Revision Commission met. What do you think about the fact that there's so much to pick from? Is that a good thing? I mean, more choices? Or is it a bad thing because, well, more choices?
Yeah, it is definitely a mixed bag because of the fact that it's tough as it is for voters to stay on top of everything, to stay informed. And especially when you have the situation of so many of the amendments being bundled, it ends up being very confusing. So that's why we've been fighting in court to make sure that the amendments are one topic and easy for the voters to understand.
So it's not, you don't think it's a good idea to bundle them. You'd rather, if we're going to have 12, or 13, we had 13 originally, just put them all out there one by one, let people decide.
Absolutely, because again, the bundling often involves two or three different topics that have nothing to do with each other. So it's sort of like, am I for e-cigarettes or vaping or am I not? But then again, am I going to be able to watch dog racing? It's just, you know, it becomes absurd.
Well, one of them is actually combined, you know, the issue of e-cigarettes and vaping and offshore oil drilling.
Right.
So there's two, it's two very different things, and you may stand differently on these issues.
Exactly. So it's not really giving the voters a fair opportunity to let their voices be heard on a particular topic.
You know, the last time that the CRC, this commission, put, again, in 1998, they had nine amendments on the ballot. Most of them passed. But does that tell you anything about whether or not, again, having a lot of issues, a lot to choose through, pick through on a ballot is a good or bad thing? You know, this is a midterm.
Correct.
But it's going to be a very busy ballot.
It is. And again, especially with so many different races that are critical coming up at this midterm election, it just makes the ballot very long. And the thing that I worry about is voter engagement. Are folks going to really stick it out through the end and flip the ballot over and go all the way to the bottom of the page? We encourage everyone to do so and to make sure they do their research in advance. I mean, we have our positions on the ACLUFL.org website. You know, go online, do your research, and, you know, look at your sample ballot before you go into the ballot box.
What's been your experience when it comes to dealing with voters? And, you know, when they're looking at the ballot and then they start getting to races, like judges, for example, or they get to all these amendments and it's like, I don't know anything about this one. Go with the first thing that's on the list. We saw that with judges.
Right.
They tend to pick the first one.
Yeah. And again, I really caution people not to do that because the first one may not necessarily be the best one. You know, it's only like a 50-50 shot because you're taking a shot in the dark as to whether or not someone is going to be qualified to sit on the bench, to sit in judgment of people, to advance criminal justice reform or to hinder it. You know, so judges play a huge role in our system and it shouldn't be something that you pick at random or willy-nilly because you just want to get through the ballot.
All right, let's talk about some of the amendments. And again, the ACLU supports some of them and opposes others. Let's look at the one that I mentioned in the introduction. This has been maybe the biggest one, Amendment 4. Again, getting voting rights back to those who were convicted felons. 13 states are, including Florida, have the same situation where basically you lose your rights after you have to wait so many years and then go back and hope the governor will give them back to you. It's a very long process, and there's no guarantee that you will get them back. But the ACLU supports the reinstatement of voting rights to these folks. When did Florida begin this practice, by the way? I mean, how long have we been doing this?
This has been going on for hundreds of years. It's basically a holdover from Jim Crow and from the slavery era. We're only one of four states that has a process that's so incredibly restrictive. Other states have some measures in place, but again, it's not one of those things where you may never get your voting rights back. And as a matter of fact, there's actually two states where you can vote while you are in custody.
I think Vermont is one of them.
Yes. I believe the other one is either New Hampshire or Maine.
Okay.
I think it's New Hampshire. But again, this affects 1.4 million people in the state of Florida. And it's unjust because at the end of the day, if you have served your sentence, if you have paid your restitution, paid your fines, done everything you were supposed to do, why can't you get your rights back? It doesn't make our communities any safer.
Yeah, you heard the cut from the governor earlier, and he's basically saying, look, once you've committed a specific crime, you're a felon, you lose your rights. And you should have to go through a process to get them back. What is your take on what he said and his stance on this?
I wholeheartedly disagree because, again, it doesn't make our communities any safer. If someone has the ability, let's look at what voting entails. It gives you the ability to have a say on your roads, on who is going to be on your school board to help educate your kids, who is going to be trying to get funding for your neighborhood. You know, these are all important things that have to do with the communities people live in. And if you take away people's right to vote and say you can never be fully engaged in the community, how are you encouraging them to reintegrate and be part of said community?
It's a purple state, but at the same time, you know, the Republican Party has controlled the governor's mansion and the legislature, both chambers, for quite some time. Do you think this has a chance? I mean, the voters have pretty much said, because they supported Scott and reelected him. They supported his position on this. I mean, that they said so when they voted him in, right?
Well, yes and no. From the standpoint of, was that really a discussion during the election at that time? I don't believe it was. I think there were other issues that were more top of mind. But, you know, again, change happens. You know, we never thought we would see legalization of marijuana for recreational use across the country, and we've seen multiple states do that. We now have medical marijuana in the state of Florida. So people can change. Viewpoints do change. And the research that we've done and the polling that we've done indicates that people support this, that when you have done your time, you deserve a second chance. And this is what it's about, second chances.
And just to clarify, too, is that felons who are convicted of sex crimes and I believe homicide,
correct,
are not able to get back their voting rights at all. I'm speaking with Melba Pearson, Deputy Director of the ACLU in Florida. We're discussing a number of the constitutional amendments on this year's ballot for voters to pick through. The ACLU will be hosting an event again Sunday, open to the public, which will go over all of the amendments on this year's ballot. And I want to repeat that. It is open to the public Sunday at noon at the Palmetto Branch Public Library. So that way, if you have any questions, perhaps about, again, a lot that you're going to have to pick through in this year's ballot, that way you can educate yourself before you vote. Let's look at another one, Amendment 6, this one known as Marcy's Law. This is really two judicial issues put in one. One of these things is about a part of Amendment 6 is about raising the age of retirement for judges from 70 to 75. And the other one has to do with victims' rights in crimes. The ACLU opposes this, right?
That is correct.
Okay. What is it the whole amendment, or is it, are we just talking about the victims' rights part of it?
We're talking about the misnamed victims' rights part of it. So let me give you a little background. I'm a former prosecutor. I was a prosecutor in Miami for 16 years. I'm well versed on victims' rights. And the Florida Constitution, as it stands right now, has a very robust victims' rights section. Victims have the right to be heard. They have the right to be present in all stages of the proceedings, whether it be the filing of charges, arraignment, trial, every aspect of trial, as well as sentencing. They have the right to be informed on what is happening with the case. So this constitutional amendment does not change anything from that perspective. But what it does do, it does give corporations the same footing as human victims. So in other words, you can now have corporations coming into criminal proceedings with high-priced lawyers trying to dictate how the criminal justice process should go.
Can you think of an example to help us get a picture of what that might look like? Have you seen that happen before? Were corporations tried?
So one example would be, let's say you have a young man who shoplifted something from Walmart, and Walmart decides they want to make this particular young man an example. And they show up with a high-priced attorney, and they start to try to bully the prosecutor or the parties involved to send this young man to jail. Let's say he's 19 years old. This is his first offense. The normal course of action would be maybe some sort of diversion program, maybe, you know, stay out of trouble for the next 6 months, pay them back whatever it is you stole, and the charges would be dismissed. But instead, under this amendment, you could have a scenario where the corporate lawyers have equal footing and now will say, no, we're not going to agree to any sort of diversion. We want this young man, even though he doesn't have a history, to go to prison. And you know, that can corrupt the whole proceedings.
And this, you know, this was, you know, basically kind of modeled after, it was a law in California, and it was a heinous crime against a young woman. But I mean, do you worry that because of that, and the history behind that story, that the voter's going to look at it and say, well, of course, I want to fight for the victim.
And let's be clear. We all want to see victims have rights and be protected. No one should have to go through the pain of being victimized and then be re-victimized by the system. So we are not opposed to victims' rights. But we in Florida are blessed with a very strong constitutional provision for victims already. So victims are already protected. This amendment is not going to provide any additional protections to the victim, but it also chips away at the rights of the accused. So it starts to attack whether or not the victim or any witnesses have to attend a deposition. Now, not to get in the weeds, but in Florida, we have the ability to have a deposition where the defense attorney can ask questions of the victim and find out how they would testify at trial. This is the right of the defendant to be able to find out, okay, this is what the person's saying, and you can make a decision whether or not you want to go to trial, you want to take a plea. As a prosecutor, being able to take a deposition is huge because then I can assess the credibility of my victim and decide, this case is falling apart, I need to drop it, or yes, my case is very strong, and then the defense decides to take a plea. If the victim no longer gets involved in that process, again, the accused is handicapped. And if, God forbid, you're ever in that situation where you're accused of a crime, you would want all of the information available to decide what your options are and what's the best thing to do, go to trial or take a plea. Additionally, this proposed amendment would shorten the window of appeal. So suppose you've been convicted, but you know all along that you are innocent, and there was some evidence that came to light 5 years after your conviction. This amendment would make it almost impossible for you to be able to file a motion to say, look, I'm innocent, look at this new evidence. It's basically saying all appeals have to be filed within a 2-year window, and that's just not practical. So again, you know, the victims in Florida are well protected, more so than other places in the country, and we cannot chip away at the right of the accused because then that's attacking the very foundation of our democracy.
Let's hit on one more here. Amendment 11. This one also covering quite a few things in one package. I mean, it repeals the state's ability to prohibit non-citizens from buying, owning, or selling property, deals with how we prosecute people under outdated laws. It also has a provision that deals with obsolete language about high-speed rail. Where's the ACLU on this amendment?
So we support this amendment for several reasons. Number one, the language about someone who is not a citizen not being able to own or sell property is racist. If someone is able to afford it, why are we, first of all, as a society, not going to be able to collect property taxes or anything like that?
And I believe that in the language, it says alien.
Right. And alien. I mean, that's racist. So that's one aspect. The second aspect is, let's say we pass full legalization of marijuana in the state of Florida. Okay, let's just use that hypothetical. We do that. So that means, let's say we pass it today. From today forward, you cannot be arrested for possession of a certain amount of marijuana or anything like that. What about all the people who are now currently sitting in jail for that marijuana charge that is now legal? Shouldn't they be able to be released from jail and have that removed from their record? Because this is no longer a crime. We've decided that this is no longer a crime. So this amendment would allow that statute to apply retroactively to people who are affected.
And, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning, is that some of these are being challenged right now in court. I believe three of the amendments are currently in court, could be removed from the ballot. One of those is Amendment 11. I mean, if that's the case, what would the ACLU's response be then?
Well, then we'd be focusing on the amendments that are still going to be on the ballot.
Okay. I wanted to get to real quickly this event that's coming up. So people, again, open to the public, free and open to the public, so people can educate themselves on the amendments. How is it going to be set up? Is it basically, you know, here are the amendments as they're going to be seen on the ballot, and let's just go through them so you understand what they are. Is it a Q&A? How will it be organized?
Well, I'm very honored to be moderating that panel. And we're going to have three panelists that will include Ruben Roberts from the NAACP here in Miami-Dade County, our public defender, Carlos Martinez, as well as someone who is a returning citizen who has, you know, gone through the process and will be directly impacted by our vote on Amendment 4. So I'll be looking at these amendments through the lens of three different individuals who are involved in the community, have been affected or work within the criminal justice system, and can kind of educate folks from a real world perspective rather than just the theory.
Let me finish with this real quickly. I mean, we live in this, well, say the information age. Look, there's so many ways to get in touch with people. Do you think we do enough to reach people and educate voters before they go in to the ballot box?
I think we do a lot. I think we could always do more. But I always encourage the voters. Sometimes, you know, life gets in the way. You're busy, you're working, you're taking care of your family. But we're in the internet age. Everybody pretty much has a smartphone. Go on our website, aclufl.org, or whatever organization that you feel tied to, and look at their positions on the different ballots. Use Google, you know, use whatever Bing, whatever search engine makes you happy. But make sure to research, get that sample ballot. I believe it's miamidade.gov, if I'm not mistaken, where you can get the sample ballot based on your geographic location and educate yourself.
Yeah, if you, I can say if you Google Florida amendments 2018, you're going to get a pretty long list of basically a lot of sites that are going to share with you at least what those amendments are. Melba Pearson, again, Deputy Director of the ACLU in Florida. Again, they're hosting an event, the Greater Miami Chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union, hosting a panel discussion about the referendum this Sunday at the Palmetto Branch Public Library at noon, free and open to the public. Melba, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.